Let's pray. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for opening your heart in ways that are so personal to you, so vulnerable, and if we could use the word sensitive. And Lord, we are in and of ourselves so very consumed with our needs. We get hungry, we get hurt, we get lonely, we get afraid. And we come to you to help us. And you do. And you do it in ways through your slaughtered son that are exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could have asked or even hoped for. But yet, Father, you are there, a person, not a doctrine, not a teaching, not a religion. And you're hungry. And you're lonely. And you get hurt. And Lord, how many times have we had no thought of you? No thought of you in our approach. No sensitivity to even look past our earth, our body, which is meant to be your temple, and just use you, and you're so gladly given. But for whatever reason, Father, by your Spirit, you have chosen to begin sharing your heart in a way so precious, so valuable to you, getting your desire needs met that you won't press. And Father, I ask that this gathering to your heart in the book of Leviticus would be a time for you, would be a time for you to gain your son through us in ways that you have always needed him and always had him, and you offered him up that he would be again given in this way back. Lord, I ask your Spirit to help communicate things that no one could ever communicate. No scripture, no person, no teaching. There's only you, and only you, God. Just like Chris was opening up that Bible. You're the only one who can open up the book. And it's a lamb that was slain that breaks the seals wide open. Lord, I pray that more than even hearing, but yes, hearing what the Spirit says, that those who have hearts for you in this way could enter in to the environment, Lord, to the environment of this, we could call it a book, to the environment of this, and be swallowed up alive into the Lamb. Order our time, speak from your heart as you see fit, Lord, and comfortable, and have your way in us. Have your way in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick story, just because I try to follow the dove when I share. When I went home to my family's gathering and to celebrate my parents' anniversary, the first day I got there, it was just sick, and then a few things happened to make me sicker. I was like, thank you, Father. And from that point on, wonderful opportunities to bless my dad in ways that would reach his heart, which involved endless hours of picking weeds and wonderful gifts. And I determined I'm not going to get in the scriptures or talk about the scriptures or do anything for the upcoming trip. Just let Jesus give himself, not me, because I'm a big old lazy dog and complainer, and you know, we're all well too familiar with ourselves, aren't we? We're just stinky, all of us. Oh, I know I am. And just lose, you know? And when it was all over and that pouring had finished, it was 7 a.m. in the morning, 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago. And the Holy Spirit started speaking. Just, I wasn't awake yet. I was half awake. And started opening up Leviticus. You know, I've been deeply drawn for so many years by the Lord, by the Spirit. I love this book, but I love the Lamb. But so he began to share, and I felt like, you know, he was saying, we can search and search and search to learn something, to gain something, to become something. But when we become involved with the sacrifice, what does involved with the sacrifice mean? Well, in our story, it's a beautiful thing. The Father is drawn to his Son. He loves him. He loves him so much. And the Spirit is drawn to that Son. He loves him to be manifested in his body, in his temple. And when we take a step out of ourselves and into them, take a step out of ourselves and into them, their hearts are stirred. Their hearts are stirred. We begin relating in their language. They start to hear. No. There are certain things that you just are rightfully owed by new birth. So you're going to, you know, you're going to get them because God's going to give them. Because every child gets 10 bucks a week allowance and a bed in the room and fresh water and a bath once a week or what. You know what I'm saying? You're in the household of God. You're going to get taken care of. But when you step into their world through the firstborn son and sacrifice, you're stepping into something completely different. You're stepping into their world. Leviticus is that world. It's that world. And I believe the Spirit is breathing this class into my heart just because it's such a witness of everything that God's sharing through our pastor and by his Spirit about the firstborn. It's just like another book of the Bible is just standing up screaming, yes, and it's like, I am in it. Oh, I'm so personally feasting right now. It has nothing to do with the class for me, but I'm so happy to be able to share with others so I can get it in me more, so the Father can get more his firstborn son, and if anybody wants it, praise God, let's do it all together. But I really could care less about teaching anything right now. My heart is aflame with just the beauty of. So when I was laying there and he began to share, that's what I want to share with you by him and the approach that he started really laying out. So the book of Leviticus, the name, let's start with the name, shall we? Because every little pittance of this book is screaming the Father's desire getting fulfilled. So the book of Leviticus. The Greek Septuagint is where they named it Leviticon or something Leviticon, we would maybe say in English. They chose the Greek translators with the Septuagint to emphasize this book being about the priests. And, you know, although Levi isn't mentioned a whole bunch in this book, the sons of Aaron are, they chose to call it Leviticus to focus on Levi, the priestly tribe, and thereby name it Leviticus. It's this Leviticon word, or however you pronounce it. It's actually an adjective that means Levitical. An adjective is good because there's a, you know, it's a description of what they found the book to be, and we're going to name the book based on what we think the book's about. So the Greeks thought the book was about the priests, so they named it that. And the Latin people, the Latin translation of this, took it from the Greeks and called it Leviticus. But the Hebrews have a different name for this book. I'm with them. I believe that they got it right. Of course they did. God gave them the oracles of God. I hate to say it, Greeks and Latins, but he gave the oracles of God to the Hebrews. I'm sorry, you know, he's New Testament. But so their word is, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelled V-A-Y-Y-I-Q-R-A. V-A-Y-Y-I-Q-R-A. That's a Hebrew word. It's just one word, and that's the title of the book otherwise known as Leviticus. And that word that I can't pronounce, that I just spelled in Hebrew, is this, and he called. And he called. I've been meditating on that for years, years and years and years. It's a sinkhole. And he called. Okay, so he begins and creates, I'm just going to try to lay it out for you the way the Spirit of God laid it out to me. He creates the worlds. God does. The universe. And in that, he creates our world, right? And we're on this world. He creates humans. But he's still way up there, right? And we're still way down here in creation, and we're really far apart, aren't we? Really far apart. So at a certain point in time, he gets a little comfortable with Moses, his buddy, right? And God, now I want you to think about God as a person, because he is, would be the first place to do that. So God, he's like, you know, I created this universe and this world and these people, and here I am and there they are. And there's just something in his heart, now we'll start here, that wants to be closer, closer on a certain basis. But there's a purpose for which he created everything, okay? So he comes a little closer in, God, in his presence, in his person, and he plops down from, we'll call it heavenly places, and he lands on Mount Sinai. He lands on Mount Sinai. Boom, right? And it's darkness and thunder and beasts dying and all of this. And everyone's terrified, but it is the first time this alien life form called God has landed on planet Earth. Mount Sinai. You check it out. Tell me if I'm wrong. I need to make sure I'm right here. Everything I say, check it out, because we're going into some heavy waters of scriptures here. We really are. I want y'all to search this out with me. Correct me. Dig in. This is just digging ground. So he pops down on Mount Sinai. Everyone's terrified, but Moses is like, I'm going to go into the thick darkness. There's a clue there. And he does, and he doesn't die and all this. And, oh, we don't want to go near this God. He's terrified. Tell us what to do and all that, right? Moses, he goes in, and he's like, oh, I want to know you, where is, you're coming as thick darkness, don't you love that, thick darkness, we're building our way to slaughter sites here, okay, as one translation calls it, but we're at thick darkness. He's like, oh, you're in that darkness, you are in that darkness, but there's death all around it, and death and lightning and judgment. Oh, but there's something else going on in that cloud on Mount Sinai, right? I want to get to him. I'm going in. Well, God's heart gets reached by that. He's like, man, someone's willing to press past the outward and what looks like judgment, and what looks like condemnation, and what looks like terror and panic, and find the me that's hidden behind it. He's a God who hides himself. You got to know, he's going, I like you, Moses. And the Bible said he called him his friend, so I think I'm okay to say that. I like you. Yeah, but, you know, all the myriads of the children of Israel, but it's condemnation, but it's, we'll die, but I don't want to know the God of anger and judgment. And you know, I think Moses is going, I don't know that you're getting the right vibe. I'm not getting that vibe. So he goes in, but he doesn't want to live in a cloud on a mountain in, you know, he wants closer. So he moves in closer. Anybody know where the next step is? Well, it's one of the tabernacles, but it's a specific tabernacle, okay? Yes? Yes, and the name is? Close, you're correct, yeah. The tabernacle of the congregation, the tabernacle of meeting, the tent of meeting. Okay, so this is one that he wasn't ready to dwell in their midst. He wanted, especially, you know, after some incidences that happened, but he's wanting to get closer. Have you ever, here's a weird example, but have you ever seen an animal, like a deer or something, that a dog, a horse, an animal that's kind of like when someone's trying to break a horse or something and they're like, they don't trust you in the slightest move or aggressive thing and they'll run. You'll spook the horse and you'll spook it and it's out of there. Very poor example, lower life form by infinite, he's not even comparable. But there's something there that the Lord is, you know, I'm not going into the middle of that. But I'll put a little tent of meeting out here where my buddy and I, Moses and I, can get together and commune, right? So the presence of the Lord goes from Mount Sinai to outside the camp, but he's closer, isn't he? Into this tent of meeting, this tabernacle of the congregation. And the presence of the Lord, the cloud of his presence, fills that tent of meeting. I think you'll find that in Exodus 33 verse 9 and thereabouts. So now we have the presence of the Lord moving in a little closer, okay? Moving in a little closer. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah. Well, someone figure out how to pronounce that, and let's call it that. I love that you just said that, because I hate calling it Leviticus now. I just do. Amen. Please, let's go to "and he called." Amen. The Hebrews would say, yeah, that's right. Okay. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Just stop right there. So the first verse in Leviticus is God calling out from his little cage in the backyard where he is now in his being, dwelling timidly and foreignly among his own people. And he's calling out of the tabernacle of meeting unto Moses. Okay, now, this word in Hebrew, called, okay? In the original Hebrew of that word, called, the last letter is written in a smaller character than the rest. And according to the Jews, this intimates or speaks of that God is now speaking not with a loud and thundering voice like he did on Mount Sinai, but he's speaking in lower, gentler tones. And I loved that because I thought, you know, what he's starting to talk about now, that he's getting closer in to them, more vulnerable, more in their midst. I mean, this last class we had, it's once again, it's a God setup. It's so perfect. It's of one theme. And I didn't even know that was being taught until tonight, but he's closer in now, and his voice is, he's not thundering the law from the mountain of Sinai. He's speaking from his heart things from Leviticus. He's speaking in a way where it's maybe difficult for him to talk about because it's so personal and it's so intimate and it's so what he loves and needs that he can't just command this. He can't just say it. He can't just shout it. It's a secret. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the secret that was made, the mystery that was made secret is now revealed. He can't shout this. So he calls. He calls the name of the book, and he calls. And he calls. he's not teaching priesthood procedure. Okay? It's not called the book of "and he taught." Okay? It's not called the book of "and he gave commandments to keep," the book of the lawgiver. It's not the book of the priest either. It's the he, which I believe is the Father, God, calling out from his little tent, little cage even, for the things that are in his heart. And it's almost like a little dove cooing. You'd have to be so still and sensitive and listening to hear what the Spirit's saying and to hear what the Father's saying from his place, even in us, in our midst, in this, in the Old Testament here. And I believe that, I believe with all my heart, personally, you have to come to this with your own searching of the Scriptures and of the Word and with the Father and by his Spirit. But I believe he's calling his firstborn son out of his people in a way that he can receive him in oneness, in communion, in fellowship, in peace, in all that is coming. He's calling for that. Approach is huge. I believe the book of "And he called." I believe the book of Esther. I believe the book of John. I believe so many places in the Word of God are declaring approach, but we don't always understand that because we're not so attuned to the God who's opening his heart to us in those books. He's not calling for just anyone to come close to him. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. I don't care if you're full of poison. And he's looking for an approach that is after his kind, according to his being and according to his desires. And so he's not just calling for the people of Israel to just run and run into this tent and sit there and look at him and violate him. If that were the case, then there would be no, what was shared last class, in the tabernacle that is later built, chapter, 36 through 40 in Exodus, they actually build the tabernacle in the wilderness that's in the midst of the tribes. After the tabernacle of meeting, which we're talking about here, which is where Leviticus begins. But if he was just looking for people to be close to him, that he could talk to and not feel lonely because people are there, then he would have never had the outer court with a burnt offering that requires your death before you proceed to the inner court, which requires more death, to the Holy of Holies, which requires complete death. But can you see how big approach is in the tabernacle? And only through our death and the slaughtered lamb. Only through our death and the slaughtered lamb. Now, the teaching of that's great, but we're not talking about teaching. This is heart learning. We're not trying to figure out the book of Leviticus, because let me tell you, once our heart starts doing that and our mind starts scurrying like little rats after that, boom, the door's shut. It's just shut. The heart's not towards the Lord. It's okay to get the doctrine in you. It's okay to comprehend what the Scriptures are saying. But the goal is oneness with the Father through the Spirit of the Son. It's just him. So he's calling, and he's not just saying, Esther, come in here in your dirty rags and your selfish heart and just, you know, hey, I'm just lonely. Okay, if she did that, what would have happened to her? Dead, man, totally. I'm just a lonely God who needs fellowship. I'm hungry. Bring me something to eat. You know, hey, I need some fellowship. Throw a party and let me be there. You know, you're going to die. Everyone will just be toast, dead. Dead. Approach is so important. Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. He said, I'm the way. And he wasn't speaking as Jesus of Nazareth. He was speaking of his death, whereby through him as a given, sacrificed, slaughtered lamb on the slaughter side of Calvary, he was going to make the way for us to go to the Father. Now, in my mind, I always think, great, you're going to die, and I'm going to, you know, do a slip slide on the blood straight to the Father. You know, your blood's going to be one of those slippy slides in the summer where they put the water on that yellow banana thing, and, you know, we're just going to spray blood on that from me to the Father, and I'm just going to go, woo, and do a, you know, a little disco slide to the Father on the blood of Jesus. Get close. And the Lord's like, no, 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 no. When you draw nigh to the Father through me as the way, and me as the way being the slaughtered lamb, I'm going to be being the way in you as the slaughtered lamb. You're in Christ and redeemed, sealed, and won by grace, unmerited favor, through his death and by his blood, and amen and hallelujah to that. But the way to the Father's heart, the way to salvation, yes, it's a free gift. But the way to oneness with the Father, to answer the cry of his heart, it's not on the slippy slide of the blood. It's approaching him through that firstborn son that wants to be released in sacrifice. I am the way. Isn't that something? Whew. I am the way to the Father. Jesus, oh, you want to get to the Father? I am the way. I'll take you there. I'll take you all the way in to the feast, to the dancing, to the oneness. Oh, well, how are you going to do it? I'm going to take you there by being the slaughtered lamb in and through you. In every time I release through you in sacrifice, in death and selfless giving, by my nature, not your zeal, and not your life, my life, you're dead, you will find that they may be one as we are one, that you are getting closer and closer through the Spirit of the Lamb that was always one with the Father. This is eternal life. This is eternal life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus is speaking as that which was from the beginning. The lamb slain from what? Before the foundation of the world. Not for sin, but for the eternal being of God and the fellowship of oneness that they had before time and space and people existed. I am the way. I am your approach. I am your approach. I am your approach. Through teaching, no. No, through my nature. And he called. Who is he calling? If this is indeed the Father, if it is indeed the presence of being of God in a cloud in a tent outside the back of the camping place of Israel, and he is really calling out of that tent, what do you think he's calling? Didn't we hear that in the beginning of the classes on the prodigal son? When we went through the three different types of the firstborn in Exodus, remember? We started with the firstborns that were meant to be God's and God's alone and given to him. And then it went to what? Animal sacrifice. And then it went to the Levites. But what was it that God said in Exodus to the children of Israel when he called them out? Let my son go, my firstborn son. And sacrifice to me in the wilderness. Let him come. Let him go. And he called. He's calling his son out of us. His firstborn son in sacrifice. And he calls. And he calls. And he calls. But so the next thing I need to read now, what the Spirit was saying from that is, I hope I have this written down because it's so beautiful how I shared it. So the way the Holy Spirit started sharing it with me was like, he's the Father now, or the Spirit of God, releasing the Father's desire, releasing God's desire in this calling out of the tabernacle. He's talking to Moses. It says he called to Moses. He's talking to someone who he trusts, right? And he... And the feeling I got from the Holy Spirit was that he was like almost afraid. Like he was kind of, you know, when someone's telling you something that they're nervous about speaking, they'll whisper and they'll kind of like that. You know, it was like he was doing that. And then he showed it to me in the scriptures. So look at verse 2. It says, speak to the children of Israel. He says, Moses, speak to the children of Israel. Okay, go talk. And listen to this. Say to them, if, notice the word if, can you hear this little flicker of excitement and hope in the Father's heart? If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. Oh, it's slipping out. Did you see it? It slipped out right there. If any of you bring an offering. He didn't say get clean. If any of you clean yourselves from mold and leprosy. If any of you don't defile yourself by eating unclean beasts. If any of you keep the law. His heart is escaping. The first utterance is the clue. Chapter 1 is the key. Because it's the first utterance out of his calling out heart. And he says, if any of you bring an offering. Korban is the Hebrew word. There was a class on Korban back in the Priests and Offerings 2008 that I love, 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 love. And Mary Bethany was shared in that class. But anyway, Korban means it's a gift. You don't have to give it. It's not required. It's not a sin offering. It's not a trespass offering. It's not a guilt offering. You don't have to offer this up. You're still saved. You're still in the family. You're still part of the people of God. If any man will bring an offering, what is an offering representing? Christ crucified, the firstborn given son. I'm trying to linger on the things the dove lingered on because it's no use rushing past it. It's so beautiful. If any, Moses, come here. I want to tell you something. Come here, Moses. Tell the people if, totally free will, any of them, man, woman, child, anybody, bring an offering, korban, a gift, the gift of a slaughtered lamb to me. What does it say after that? You'll bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, of the flock. So at this point, we're still at the animals representing the firstborn, right? But verse 3, if his offering be a, here it goes, burnt sacrifice of the herd. Oh, burnt sacrifice means a whole burned offering. Everything's consumed. It also means something that's offered with fire. It ascends is another word. Another word is holocaust. If any man offer a holocaust, it's a picture of Christ crucified in his body. If any man bring an offering, he's hinting when he says offering. And then he keeps saying a whole burnt offering. He's specifying, bring something of the herd, and then he goes a little further, let him bring a male without blemish. He's describing his son, his firstborn son, in sacrifice. He's saying it. He's saying, if anyone will bring me my firstborn son in sacrifice, let him offer a male without blemish. Let it be Christ in you, Christ crucified in you, the firstborn. And he offer it of his own voluntary will. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, would any of them come unto me in my place outside the camp, longing to be near them, but only one way I can be? If any of them have it in their heart to approach me through a whole burnt offering of a male that's not blemished, look in there and see if you can find the firstborn and offer him up, all my dreams would be fulfilled. Can you imagine the joy of the Father? We can go through our whole life and never approach him with his firstborn son in sacrifice. It's teaching. It's needs. It's we're drawing nigh because we got issues and crises. This person is this person among the congregation. It's so completely not to do with I'm a mess. I'm not a mess. I'm a mess. My life's a mess. My life's not a mess. The people are driving me crazy. The people are having a great communion back there. My house has got problems. My house doesn't have problems. I'm not coming because of me. I'm not coming because of my stuff. We got all kinds of chapters where we'll talk and we'll see. But no, this is chapter one. This is the first utterance of your heart. You're calling. You're calling. And all you're saying is, if anyone will offer my son, my firstborn, a male with no blemish, a whole burnt offering, a holocaust, that which ascends, ohala. Oh my God, each word. We're going to look at each word and we're going to just melt before him. At least I am. I have been. You know what the job of the priests was? Turn it into smoke. You turn it into smoke. Oh, that doctrine that you tout around about the firstborn son and sacrifice, all your Christ crucified teachings, turn it into smoke. Make it ascend. Get the fire on that thing and let it rise to the Father. Your responsibility. Your responsibility. My responsibility. My joy. My joy. My joy. If you are not required to do this to be saved. But it's the deepest desire of the Father's heart in regards to us. And it's a gift we give him. It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't have to. Of course you don't. But he waits like the prodigal's father. He waits and he waits with love and oneness and covering and grace. Oh, but when he even slightly, remember the first classes and the prodigal son sharing, when he even slightly turns in the direction of bringing the father the sacrifice, the father's like, yeah, I mean, he's feeling strong. He's like, because he's like, I'm smelling it. There's the possibility of an offering up of the firstborn in this vessel. He's running. And he doesn't go, why did it take you so long, Corbin? I'm ready to not make it, a gift. He didn't. He kissed him. He hugged him. Can you see the Father's heart in this? He called. If any man, tell him Moses. Isn't it amazing? Now, if we can get that spirit in our gut, like was shared in the prayer, breathe it in, breathe it in. It's a spirit. Let the Holy Spirit give you the Holy Spirit mouth to mouth. Resuscitate your inner man with the beauty of the altar. In Jesus' name, breathe it in. Breathe it in. And all of a sudden, the Father just starts going, you're like, I'm kind of slow in my relationship with the Lord. Things are at a lull. I feel dull. I feel dead. It ain't going to get dull and dead when you start coming nigh with a firstborn from your flock that's without blemish. His name is Jesus, and you're ready to pop him on that altar and turn it into smoke. Someone's running in your direction. They're going to clap. You're let it begin. I mean, you're getting, like we said, you're getting God excited now. You're getting God again. He's not like, what? Next. Yes. Forgiven, blessed, your mortgage is paid, yes, your knee is healed, yes, that's a terrible person, please get more of Jesus, yes, next. And then someone walks up there with just, I found a firstborn from male without blemish, his name is Jesus, I found him inside of me, yeah, he's in there, I found him, I looked in the temple, and I found the firstborn son, a male without bars, a lot of goats and all, but I found a firstborn son, and I'm going to bring him to you, and guess what? I want to do a whole burnt offering today, Dad. What does that mean? Take it all into the fire and let it just become the fragrance of your son in your nostrils, soothing savor is what it's called in the Hebrew. I'm ready to do that. He just goes.
Hallelujah.
It's my birthday. No, not really, but he's so excited. He's like, oh, That's why I raised up a Bible school. That's why I raised up a church. That's why I raised up my son from the dead. You know? And he called. Leviticus. Boringest book in the Bible. And that's exactly what happens to people when they read the book of Leviticus. I'm not going into that thick darkness. Condemnation. I can't live after all those rules. What, 760? What? No. Forget it. Take me to somewhere else. The Psalms sound good. And I'm going to walk on into the Song of Solomon after that. Yeah. But I ain't going anywhere near that thick darkness. That legalistic book of duties and, oh my gosh, I can't even wash my hands enough. How am I supposed to read that book and survive? I can't survive Leviticus. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to survive Leviticus. It's supposed to make the cross real in your life. We're just starting. Let me tell you, this book is like a freight train. It's like God's just going like this. He's like, let's just do it. It's the third book of the Bible. We've had Genesis. I don't know how much more we can talk about the firstborn being given in Genesis. We've gone into Exodus. They failed. So we go, oh my God, let's just stop. This is day three. This is book three. Let's just pour it out. Like, this is how I want him prescribed to the T. And no one's going to get it, so praise the Lord. We can just say it all and they'll never figure it out. Oh, but we're gonna turn our hearts. We're going to get it. And he's going to get his son. And I just said, yeah, let's do this. So I have covered one half of one page of the 5 pages for tonight. Praise God, that means I have more classes. But we're never going to finish Leviticus. So you should just pray that God shares what he wants to, because this book is power-packed. I am telling you, right here. Everybody just open your Bible. Just grab the book of Leviticus. Go like this. Big old bite, and then just kidding. Yes, we're going to eat the book. Eat that scroll. It's going to be bitter in your belly, but ooh, it's going to bring forth Christ. Amen? Yes, Lord. Open the seals. You know, if the slaughtered lamb opens the seals, we got a lot of slaughtered lambs in Leviticus. Hey, let's open it. Oh, okay. I'm telling you, now I want to say this. I'm going. You can get on that train, or you don't have to get on that train. But don't be one of those prodigal, you know, those elder brothers. Why are they having a party in that train? And all I'm getting is the law. And I'm the priest doing it all. And they're having a big old feast with the Father. For God's sake, they're dancing in that train. I hear music, and it is not religious music. It's happy music. Those darn people, I don't even think they're Christian. Because we're out here working for it. Get on the disco train. Straight to the Father's heart. Don't slip and slide there on the blood thing. Do it through the firstborn. And we're going to do it. Hallelujah. Yes, the beloved arm that has waited so very patiently. It's crazy good.
I know you have that hope to bring something to me, to bring a gift. This is the gift that I will accept.
Yeah, like, that's
this
it.
This is how I want you to present it.
Man.
It's no longer a list of rules. Mm-mm. I recognize your hope. Mm-hmm. Here's how you're going to give it to me.
Yeah, and now get ready, because the book is so darn good when you come from his heart. It's like, dude, seriously, how is it that not everyone in the world just wants to live in the book of Leviticus? Honestly. But the priests do. And we are called to be, what does 2 Peter, 1 Peter say? Yeah, a nation of priests. It's all of us. Well, here, let me read a little bit from my version that I like. So this book weighs so much. God forgive me. The reason y'all are going to be carrying extra things on the plane... is because this book weighs so much. And I really do have to bring it to Ireland. I have to. It's all five books. They have Genesis in just one volume, but not Leviticus. Why? Because it's just that boring book no one wants. You know, they all want Genesis. So anyway, I have special things for you on Sunday so we can bring this book with us. Father, I've sinned. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm offering a trespass offering for that. But now I'm going to redeem it slightly just by reading the translation. So it's a really great translation. It's not the Holy Spirit has the great one. And he called to Moshe, otherwise known as Moses. Yahweh spoke to him from the tent of appointment, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, anyone, when one among you brings near a near offering for me, from domestic animals, from the herd or from the flock, you may bring near your near offering. If an offering up is his near offering from the herd, then a male, wholly sound, let him bring it near. Bring it near to the entrance of the tent of appointment. Oh, let him bring it near as acceptance for him before the presence of God." First three verses, that's all we're going to do tonight because it gets wonderful after. Oh, it's going to be good, guys. Let's just pray. I want to go forward, but I'm constrained by the Holy Spirit not to. Father, thank you. Thank you for calling. You're doing it right now. Doing it right now to the tent of meeting, our hearts. You're calling for the firstborn in sacrifice, and you're whispering the prescribed method in which we are to give him to you. Help us to hear. Help our hearts to go aflame. Help us leave our world and enter into yours, Lord, through the sacrifice. What was once thick darkness and the smell of death, let it become the very savor of life to life instead of death to death. Oh, the sweet aroma. Oh, that which pleases you, let it please us. Let it draw us. Let it draw us into the oneness that every priest should experience and live by. Oneness with the sacrifice. Christ in him crucified. Our life, our blood, our breath, our being. Oh, Father, do what's in your heart right now. Not a class, Lord, not teaching. Let us not become weirdos with weird doctrines and know Jesus. Let us just be full of the Son and sacrifice, and let it be for your sake, and let it soothe you and feed you and bless you. We love you, and in that love we want to give you your firstborn Son and sacrifice. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. If it be in your good pleasure to continue just fellowshipping in this in Ireland, then just pour it on in, Lord. Pour it on in. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would start a fire. People get in the Word and start seeing things that have to do with offering up the Lamb to the Father. We just fellowship. We turn it into smoke in Ireland. We let it ascend. Oh, Hala, a holocaust of whole burnt offering, a release through death of the essence and being of what you love, your Son and his eternal nature of sacrifice. So be it, Lord. Have your way. Have your way in us and through us. In Jesus' name, and to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. 9:00. Woo! Right on the button.